You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You're listening to the Cricket Podcast.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Cricket Podcast, where we're going to be wrapping up day three of the second test in Vizag, which I've been saying wrong for 3 days. I'm Jack Hope, I'm joined by Max Rowe-Brown. Max, it was a pretty good day of cricket, wasn't it today?
It was. Maybe you should go with the easier name of Vishakhapatnam first, and then you won't run into any issues. Was a good day. It's been two really good tests so far, hasn't it? You know, regardless of the fact that in both situations, it's to all intents and purposes, after the first couple of days, looked like England are quite far behind. We know that ruling England out is a perilous thing to do. It's been really good cricket. It's been played on good pitches that have offered enough for the batters and the bowlers, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, well said, Max. We're going to be going through the day's play. Obviously, there's a big Shubman Gill century. There's wickets for James Anderson. There's the question of whether England can do it again and more. Before that, though, we just want to plug ourselves on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, actually, as well. We should add that to the logo on the YouTube screen. At the Cricket Pod, if you want to follow us there. And if you want to support the show directly, patreon.com/thecricketpod, where from just £4 a month, you can get access to bonus content. Max, what happened today for those who didn't get up at 4 a.m? For well, example, like a person who went to bed at 1 in the morning after drinking about 9 beers last night.
You, yeah. I'll tell you what happened, Jack. England started with one goal in mind, which was bowl India out. India started the day, 28 for none, a lead of about 190. And England's job was obviously to restrict that as much as possible. And good old Jimmy Anderson, 41 years to the good. Removed Rohit impressively, cartwheeling his off stump, and Jaiswal shortly after. England had got the big two guys out at the top and it was looking good. And they looked like they were going to get Shubman Gill without trying too hard, but somehow he escaped the first half an hour and never looked back, tucked into the spinners once he was at the crease and looked like the prince of old rather than the Shubman Gill of the post-Dengue era. And it was a thoroughly important innings from Shubman Gill, because aside from Akshar Patel, no one else really did anything apart from a slightly bizarre innings from Ashwin towards the end. And 255 was what India put up. A really good effort from England's bowlers overall. Some excellent glove work from Ben Folkes. A fantastic catch from Ben Stokes off Shreyas Iyer. And, yeah, I mean, 255, England will probably be fairly happy that they managed to get India out for that total. They might be disappointed it wasn't a bit lower, obviously, with Shubman Gill scoring the 100. But overall, not a bad effort from England. But in the world of logic and reason, we'd be looking at this with England needing 399 to win in the fourth innings chase in India. and we'd have written it off, and we wouldn't even bother watching tomorrow just to see. It would just be maybe vaguely interested in how badly England are going to lose. But we're all sat here, and people are saying England might win. Shubman Gill's given England a 30% chance of winning this test match. And why? Why are we even talking about it? It doesn't make sense.
The internet says that England have got a 17.9% chance of winning. So they're not as quiet.
It's still pretty high.
Shubman Gill. when they came out to bat, I was convinced that there was no chance they were going to win this game.
Yeah.
And now I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, this is the balance. I don't know. It's hypnotic, isn't it? The whole thing that they do.
It is like a cult that people have just bought into, and it's not just England that have bought into it now. It's everyone.
Now Shubman Gill's in.
Shubman Gill's in. I think Rohit Sharma's in because for some reason I don't know what you made of it, but like that passage of play at the end when they just got Ben Duckett and Rehan Ahmed came out, and it's just sort of Ahmed came out and we were like, okay, so Rehan Ahmed's the Nighthawk now. He's taken over Stuart Broad's role, and India just seemed to like let that happen. They didn't, you know, crowd around the bat, put pressure on. It was just like, yeah, okay, well, I guess this is how it works now. So we'll just do some normal fields and let you try and score some runs. That was a bit odd. And yeah, I think everyone's just sort of kind of been hoodwinked by the fact, obviously, England's great escape in Hyderabad. People have made quite a lot about that chase against India at Edgbaston as well. Was it 378 for 3? But I mean, this is a different ball game, isn't it? Doing it in India. Like no one's got close.
I mean, I tend to agree.
The touring side, yeah.
Yesterday on the podcast, we had Dan on, and I asked Dan, like, what do you think top end England could do? And he was like, 350 is the best they could.
That's pretty high.
He said that, and I was like, yeah, it's a lot of runs. I think that should leave England buried. And now that they're chasing 400, I'm thinking, God, those Ashwin runs. They might have been a bit scratchy or whatever, but they could be crucial. That could be the whole game. Ashwin's 29. Madness, really.
Yeah. Well, I think Ashwin might have made a little bit of a mistake scoring those runs, actually, because they're the runs that took England from what would have been, you know, I think a record chase for a touring side in India to a record chase of anyone in India in the fourth innings, including India. And that's the kind of thing that Basball's targeted at, destroying all records. If they'd left one record left, I don't think England would be doing it. It's not enough. There's not enough glory in it. But if you add a few more, suddenly it's everything's there to be taken down.
I mean, it would be mad. I'm pretty sure that no team has ever scored 399 ever in a fourth innings in India.
No.
So you would say history is against England, but as you point out, like it is in this cult that they have developed with Baz as the Grand Master.
Yeah, Grand Master Baz.
You just don't really know. Should we talk about Shubman Gill? It was his day, really. Is this his coming of age innings?
I don't know about a coming of age innings. I think it's possibly a bit of a turning point for him in the sense that, you know, there's been a lot made recently about, I think he's got like a really good record in Ahmedabad and quite a bad record everywhere else. You know, he's averaged like, is it 20 odd with the bat at number 3? Jaiswal's come in and kind of supplanted him as the opener and sort of the new golden boy. So I'd say it's sort of it's a reminder to everyone of the quality of Shubman Gill and what he can offer. I think that's where I would place it. I don't know if it's like the coming of age, like that Shubman Gill has arrived. He is the next big thing. I think it's just to like, you know, hang on a minute. Let's not, you know, say write him off as some overhyped, you know, not want to say failure, but a slight disappointment to what he's been talked up to be. I think it's just, you know, there was class in there, but people will still look at, you know, the first half an hour. He got, you know, got a little bit lucky with, I suppose, not being given OEW and a couple of urges. But you need that luck to get 100 more often than not. You don't get 100 unless you're just one in the first innings, you don't get 100 without a few scrapes along the way. And you came through those and motored along. And it just, it was, yeah, to me, it was just a good example from Shubman Gill to show everyone what he's all about. And, you know, full credit to him, because, you know, they look like being quite important runs. England might fall in a heap and end up being 200 all out, and it might not matter. But there's every chance that those 104 runs are absolutely crucial. And fair play to him, because once he got going, he looked serene. Some of the shots off the spinners were glorious. The, you know, the use of the feet to get to the pitch, particularly off Rehan Ahmed, tucking into him a bit at the sort of start of his spells, it was highly impressive. So it was nice as well to see Shubman Gill in that flow, because it's nice to watch when it happens, and it's been a while since we've been able to see it.
He had a touch of the Zach Crawley-itis to him, didn't he? In Test cricket, I would say. Like I've got his stats up here. 21 tests. So this is before this test. 21 tests, 39 innings, only 1,063 runs at an average of 29. Like, yeah. you look at him and you think, you know, like early career Zach Crawley, and you think that guy's, he's got all the stuff that you need. Like, it doesn't really make sense that he averages under 30. Like, it doesn't seem right. So you would sit. I think Shubman is probably overall a better player than Zach Crawley. You would think that average will go in the right direction.
Yeah.
From this point, I think it's a really important ton. To be honest, I think it's there's a world where England are bowled out by sort of halfway through the afternoon session, and it kind of doesn't matter mathematically whether he gets those runs, but right now the total on the board, as we were saying like 3 minutes ago, it feels like it might be possible, but also it is impossible because of Shubman Gill. Doesn't make any sense at all, man.
Yeah, you've lost me, I'm afraid. Should we move on?
Yeah, let's move on. I've got quite limited notes for this podcast, Max. The next one I've got is Shreyas Iyer is a fraud.
Right.
Can you discuss that?
Well, I mean, we have our thoughts about why Shreyas Iyer is a fraud, which is because if you bowl at his head, he's immediately out. But actually, everything else about his game, you know, the drives, the front foot stuff, is pretty good. He's a solid player. It's just that he's got one huge glaring weakness in his game. But obviously, that, you know, that wasn't what befell him today. He fell into Ben Stokes's trap. He tried to get him to hit basically left a bit of the park open. So go on then, knock us over the fielder's head into this region, and probably picked the wrong shot to do it. Just, you know, the inside out drive, it's not the easiest shot to play in the world, but it was a little tighter to him than it should have been. And I think that was just probably a bit of a brain fade from him, and just falling for it. Ben Stokes tried something. It worked, because it always bloody does with Ben Stokes. I'm almost getting annoyed now. It's just, he tries something and it just works. It shouldn't work. It just does. And to top it all off, Ben Stokes took a really, really good catch running back. So, I mean, I like the... I quite like Shreyas Iyer going for it. I quite like, you know, being presented with this sort of dangled carrot and saying, well, I'm going to take it on. I'm good enough. I believe in my ability. And I also, you know, respect Ben Stokes for giving him the opportunity to... It's Bazball all over, isn't it? That little bit of play. It was a good bit of work. But I mean, Shreyas Iyer, you always want more from him, don't you? I think that's the... I guess when you're calling him a fraud, that's probably where it comes from. Like, you look at him there and you can see he's got class, and you're really frustrated when he doesn't show it or you know, put it out there. But I mean, is obviously there, you know, Kohli not being around is a massive loss for this middle order. But you do look at that and you think, like, someone has to take control. It was Shubman Gill today. He, you know, stepped up, took the authority on to sort of be the leader in that middle order. But I think you'd want more from Shreyas Iyer in that respect, because he's been around the side a bit longer. He was sort of initially vaunted as like someone who could be the next Kohli, because he's got a similar cover drive. And you do sort of wonder where he's going to just stand up, take control, be assertive. He's just sort of there, isn't he? And hasn't staked his claim enough.
I think he's one of those players who very occasionally will do something unbelievable. Just score a ridiculous ton. And you'll be like how has that happened when all the other stuff happens as well? I think it's actually quite rare in international cricket, international level cricket, that you get people who are genuinely terrible at making decisions. And I think he's one of them. I think it's, he just does so much dumb stuff. And we say, oh, that guy's an idiot, or he got out in a really stupid way. It's quite common that from a punditry perspective, people will describe cricket in those terms. But I think mostly when people do, what has actually happened isn't someone being an idiot. It's a limit of their game that's been exposed. Mm. Let's use Zach Crawley, because we brought him up on this podcast already. Like, for what, 3 years, all you did was you bowled outside off stump and the guy would edge it to second slip.
Yeah, he'll hit you four times first, but you know you'll get him.
Yeah, it wasn't because he was stupid that he was doing it. It was because he had a defect in his game. Like, he had a judgment problem. Like, in that moment, he thought the ball was somewhere. And it wasn't, and that's why he edged it. With Shreyas Iyer, it is like you say, you dangle the carrot, or not even the carrot, you dangle the massive bomb with bomb written on it in front of him, and the guy goes, "Yeah, all right then," and lights the thing and runs around with it like a Batman villain from the 50s. I don't know. It really perplexes me. I mean, like a guy. Nobody really is a fraud who actually averages 37 in Test cricket. Like, clearly he's a good cricketer, but like, good grief, you do wonder like what's going on in the brain.
Yeah, compartment. And they were going along really well at that point. They'd rebuilt from a position where there was a little bit of jeopardy, and Shipman Gill and Shreyas Iyer just calmed things down. And you know, if they put on another 50 between them and were still there, you're looking at it in England like, yeah, this is done. Let's see what we can do, but we're not going to win this game. And then you go and do that, and it gives England an opening. And they took control of that opening. They took two quick wickets after tea,
More quick wickets.
Yeah, and then here we are talking about England with a chance of chasing 399 for some reason. But it's I mean, to say he let England in would possibly be a little extreme, but he did. He could have shut the door completely, and he just left a tiny bit of draft, on his way out of the house, and
it's quite the tale, isn't it, as well with India, it's old school. You know, most teams of the world, they pay at least a bit of a consideration to batting depth, and I think we talked on the preview about why we thought Washington Sundar might play, and I think India probably picked the right team. I think, they've equipped themselves with the bowlers that should be able to bowl in England out in the fourth innings. And Washington Sundar wouldn't have been the kind of bowler that you'd have necessarily backed. However, like, they're heroically crap at batting. it's amazing that you've got Kuldeep Yadav at nine. Charitably at nine as well. I mean, like, astonishing. Max, so let's wrap up the podcast. I think it's a prelude to what will ultimately determine who wins the match tomorrow. I can't see it going to a fifth day. The question is, can England do it? Like, I want to hear your thought process here. How should they set about it, and what percentage chance?
Yeah, so I mean, Well, I said in the Discord before England went out to bat, like, yeah, they've got a chance, but I'm putting them at about 2%. Like, you know, if you played this game 50 times, England will win one. I think that might have been a little harsh, but not by much, right? You look at all the body of evidence against that this could happen for England, and the body of evidence in favour. And the body of evidence against it is overwhelmingly larger than the body of evidence in favour. If you just take back strip back a little bit the Baz ball, the stuff that happened in Hyderabad, and think about it logically, then you know, the chances of England winning this game are tiny, minuscule. But I don't think, you know, people aren't really, they're ascribing a lot more than just logic to whether England can make this chase. Recent history, obviously recency bias. We all know about recency bias. That comes into it. And I think that is playing a part in what people are saying here to a degree. The very recency bias of Hyderabad, I think, playing into it. But if there is one team that's going to do it, it is England, because we've seen how they play it. And I'm trying to think of a logical reason as to why, not just because of what everyone's been, you know, seen in the last few years, but why England, from a purely cricketing point of view, why this England and their approach makes it more likely that they're going to chase these huge scores in the fourth innings. And I think it's just about the time it takes them to do it. It's the run rate. You think if you're chasing 399 in the fourth innings, you'd say you'd need 120 overs to do it, at least. And by that point, you've got through two new balls and two extended periods where the ball is going to be turning, and you're going to be into like the middle of a fifth day where the pitch has deteriorated further and further and it gets harder and harder to bat. But England shorten everything, and they do it, you know, they'll probably need to take a second new ball, but possibly not for long if they're going to win it. Like, they're going up for nearly five and over already, so that would be exactly 80 overs if they were going at five and over.
Yeah.
So you're looking at that England targeting, trying to do it like within one new ball. And from that point, you're also doing, it's one day. You take the fifth day out of it completely, so the pitch is a little bit better to bat on. So like, there are logical reasons as to why the way England play and just speeding up the game makes it easier to do these big chases, because you take a sort of more of the jeopardy out of it. And that's where I think this approach works. You just get the better of the good batting conditions while they're there. But I still think like 10% would be the top end of what I'd give England in this, because there are a few that are starting to keep low. We've seen that. If England do try and get a bit greedy and hurry the scoring along, there is every chance, you know, they'll just get pinned in front. Ben Duckett's one even, you know, bounced a bit more. So there's a bit of variable bounce going on, which makes it a lot trickier. So England have to be smart about how they speed things up, playing with a straight bat, that kind of thing. But there's always a chance for this England side. And again, like, I'm seeing signs that Rohit also believes that England might win this game, and that is the first step towards winning a game from an unlikely situation. Make the opposition believe that they might lose this, and that makes a huge difference. Like, if the opposition are just, you know, we've got this, like, we're confident, then that's the first battle you have to overcome. And I think they've already won that, bizarrely. So it could happen. But I'm not saying more than 10% for England.
I think that's probably fair. I mean, like, the thing I would say is that the range of possibilities tomorrow are so vast that
that's not going to happen.
Is a really enticing prospect. I mean, like, England, what was that? Their first innings, they lost the last nine wickets for about 120 or something like that, didn't they? Yeah. 130. Like, England could easily lose this match by 200 runs. Mm. But I also think they could win it by five wickets. before a second new ball is required. Like, that is a thing that could happen. What I think probably edges it towards India is how well Bumrah has bowled, how this pitch seems to suit him, and how he's been able to extract reverse swing. In the first match, it was very much a new ball wicket, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, the average in the first 40 overs, I think, was about 30. And in the next 40 overs, so 40 to 80 with each ball, the average was about 50. In this match, it's been a game where you've been able to take wickets throughout the duration of the innings. We've seen wickets fall pretty regularly, and reverse swing's been part of that. And there's probably no better reverse swing bowler than Bumrah, as we saw in the first innings. Little up and down. I think that'll be very, very difficult for England to overcome.
If he bowls anywhere near as well as he did yesterday, England haven't got a chance.
I mean, if he bowls a quarter as well, like India, a canter to victory.
It's phenomenal.
And the other thing is obviously we don't really know with this, but Joe Root has got a finger injury. Apparently it's an external injury, so probably a little cut. I think I've not seen anything that says he won't be able to bat, but yeah, it's a thing that we need to consider. Max, mm-hmm. I think that's probably it for today's podcast. We'll be back, I think, tomorrow lunchtime with more cricket action. I'm sure, you know, lunchtime in the UK, obviously, not in India. I'm sure we'll be talking about the end of this game. Like, I cannot see it going to a fifth day.
No, no chance.
Right. No. Goodbye, everyone.
Thanks for listening. Sports Social Podcast Network.